We'd like to greet you in Jesus' name this morning, and all of you present today. Thankful for another Lord's Day, Resurrection Day, we gather together to encourage each other. We're going to begin with a prayer. Before that, would you have any prayer requests for us?
I was thinking, pray for peace of mind through times like these when there's panic all around.
Amen.
And just to go through and not panic, just to...
Yes. That Jesus taught us to pray like that, and that we should pray for that. And the Apostle Paul as well, that we could lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Anybody else? Well, let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, we thank you again for Jesus. Thank you for his love in coming and making himself of no reputation, taking upon him the form of a servant and the likeness of men. And even though he came from the ivory palaces, praise you, dear God, for Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the church, those who Jesus redeemed with his own blood and called us out from this sin-sick world to be a part of a kingdom that has no end, and to look forward to a wedding day, a great marriage supper of the Lamb, and the ages, if we could call them that, of eternity, of being with you, dear God. Thank you now. Give us a song, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand up. As you lift your glad voices. 53. There's a few things like when we say the word loud, loud was the chorus, sing loud. And when the next verse after that at the same spot when it says, sad were the life we may part with tomorrow. We don't just give it all we can there. We think about, we feel how sad that would be if tears were our birthright and death were our end. But Jesus, and we go for it again.
Dominion of death and the grave. But Jesus has healed the dark valley of sorrow and made us immortal to inherit ascend. Lift your voices in triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen and death shall not die.
Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Well, at Nakoba Nursing Home, we don't get to go there. Tiffany, two weeks before the wedding, she said when we told her we wouldn't be there in the next time because of the wedding, she says, well, I guess we'll let you off one time. They really enjoy this, the residents do, and we'll allow you one time to skip. But now we actually don't get to go back to those for right now. But it's a blessing to still be able to sing. And let's keep praying for them. If they don't get any visitors right now, that the Lord will give them cheer. And they'll remember the hymns maybe that we've sung. I was blessed to see on the news that some of the Italians in their country, of Italy, of course, they have their lockdown so much because of this virus going around, and there's some videos of them on their balconies in the city in these apartment complexes, and singing to one another across the street way over at nighttime. They're out on the balconies and they don't have any instruments. They are singing with their voice and doing a good job of it. And so the title of that news article was The Italians Take to Song in the Midst of the Lockdown and the Quarantine and so forth. That's just encouraging to me. When else does it occur to people to sing to their neighbors, to join together and make the whole area, you know, with these tall complex apartment complexes? I mean, it was resounding around there, you know. Cross from you. The Lord has His ways to remind us of the precious things of life. And think of Him. It was in Italian. I don't know what they were saying, but they were having a good time. Let's do another one. Shall we do 78? Girls, are you ready to try the tenor again? And boys, you tenors, be on soprano strong. Let's just try it on the third verse. Just the third verse. Do it that way. And then we'll go back to normal. You altos on, no, you you sopranos. Sopranos on high tenor. That's going to be a little hard. Some of you girls can sing soprano if you don't know high tenor. That's a good one. 1900s, there was a Mennonite bishop in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, who was on his way to church one morning, but the snow was so deep that his horse just could not make it through the drifts. Could not make it. Had to go back home. When he got back home, he wrote a hymn. I owe the Lord a morning song. Gratitude and praise. For the kind mercy he hath shown in lightening out my days. How many times does everything go wrong for you and me? Maybe our four-wheel drive gets stuck in the mud. Can't get through. We need to open a window tonight. You know, and everything's just fell apart, your day fell apart. There's the truck stuck in the mud. And you think, I owe the Lord something. That's what that man thought. And he gave us a hymn because of it. That's a real challenge to me. Things go wrong. Maybe those around us don't perform. And it just isn't working. We can think about it. We owe the Lord something. A morning song. He kept me safe another night. I see another day. Now may His Spirit as the light direct me in His way. Keep me from danger and from sin. Help me Thy will to do. So that my life be pure within and I Thy goodness know. Keep me till Thou wilt call me hence where never night can be. And save me, Lord, for Jesus' sake. He shed His blood for me. There was a professor that was giving a talk on singing hymns at a church here not very long ago, and he recalled he told about how that in he took some of the some university students from the Eastern Mennonite University in Virginia. He took them over to Germany, where most people that have Anabaptist or Mennonite ancestry, where they come from, the southeastern or southwestern part of Germany, I think it is. And he said over there, he was speaking to the at a congregation of Germans, and he had his students along from the university. And as they sang and talked about singing over there, one of the Germans asked could you sing I Owe the Lord a Morning Song? And these students from America, Mennonite students at the university, didn't know that song. And so the Germans sang it for them. And how did they know it? Because the CPS, which was a, there was an MCC, Mennonite Central Committee, who after who in the late 40s got formed, and early 50s, were formed and went over and helped the war-torn Germany, help people who had gone through an awful lot. We're reading right now a book at home called Not Forsaken. You've heard of that book. About the Mennonite Central Committee who helped these people. The Mennonite Central Committee and another one called PAX that the Mennonite Church had that they gathered together, helped to get it to go over there. Well, they taught the Germans at that time this song written by the Mennonite bishop from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And they never forgot it. But these university students now, grandchildren, they didn't even know. So thought that was interesting. I want to talk to you a little bit about, a little more about that Eastern Mennonite School, they called it at first, back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. I forget when it was formed. It's in Virginia. They've always had a great emphasis on singing, sang together. And they didn't have any instruments in the early days. Now they do. But J. Mark Stauffer taught there from 1939 up to the end of the 1960s. And J. Mark Stauffer was instrumental in getting a radio program going where he would take Mennonite congregational singing, a cappella singing, and put it, broadcast it over the radio. And it was called Mennonite Hour. I talked to you about it before, I believe. And it went for a number of years. And it's some very good singing. And actually later, and more lately, a friend of mine, Mitchell Zimmerman, was able to get a hold of all their archives, all Mennonite Hour's archives. And he makes tapes out of them, or CDs out of them, compiles them from all those archives. Then he went on to compile a couple of hymn books, too, for men singing, called Hymns We Love, Mitchell Zimmerman did. But this J. Mark Stauffer wrote a book about the importance of singing. You can stand up so you don't get too sleepy. And he said this, the church, Christians, for almost 13 centuries couldn't have a voice in their churches. Instead of participating in congregational singing, they were expected to listen to trained choirs singing in a language they didn't understand, which was Latin. That's what the Catholic Church did for years and years. You just listened to the trained choir sing. And they were forced to obey clergy that was chosen without their consent. In other words, priests and so forth. The Anabaptist movement came along in the early 1500s, 1525 to be exact. And it was filled with people who wished to worship God in the manner of their own choosing, with no intermediaries. You know, someone in between that you had to go to God through, or even talk to God through. Maybe use a prayer. You couldn't pray your own prayer. You had to pray a prayer of some saint. Or listen to the trained singing, like I said. Anyway, J. Mark Stauffer wrote this. He was concerned about the future of singing now in the Anabaptist church, which became the Mennonite church. And he said this. He said, the Anabaptists singing hymns themselves with understandable words that came from their hearts or directly from the Bible was one of the worship choices they wished to make. It was natural. They had to express it. Then J. Mark, he saw a danger in the church. He wrote this. He said, if we fail to teach and to develop and to encourage our congregational music as we should, it is only logical to conclude that in the course of years, we will be spending money for and listening to pianos, organs, orchestras, soloists, and trained choirs. He said, that would be tragic. In other words, if we would just end up going right back to what we came from in the Catholic Church for years and years, listening, just listening. He said that would be tragic. Now I'm going to go on to tell you that he said the Bible favors vocal music. He said, instruments should be considered part of the law which was forever swept away by Christ as he instilled the age of grace in which we live. And that makes me think of that preacher, you know, who said in Aurora, he said, you know, you can sing when you don't have a bunch of instruments to cover it up with. You don't have to have a bunch of instruments to cover it up with. It's the natural expression of the heart. And we do it, and we do it heartily as unto the Lord. We don't have to use the crutch of instruments. And you know I'm not saying that instruments are out. But when we go back to relying on that, we go back to the law, kind of. It comes from the heart. I mean, a Christian rejoices and wants to sing with his voice. Okay. So do we want the real thing? Or are we settling for a counterfeit? You know, it's a little like car parts. The difference between original equipment or some aftermarket parts just don't quite fit right. Don't quite work right. Or maybe in Brother David's business, the real deal when it comes to an old tool, it's authentic. An authentic tool. Or maybe a look-alike. Just a look-alike to come along. J. Mark went on to say, inferior gospel choruses, rhythms and tunes, secular rhythmic tunes, like have a beat to them, secular tunes, modernistic songs, and songs which appeal only to the emotions are to be avoided, he said. He said, what needs to happen? This is what needs to happen. Every young person should learn to read music, encouraged to sing hymns. Congregational singing doesn't develop all by itself. It must be encouraged and guided and sponsored by someone entrusted with its improvement. Anyway, some good things he said there. But you know what? That university that he was teaching these things in and wrote that book while he was there, that very university, they called it Eastern Mennonite School. And now you drive south on 81, Interstate 81, down through Virginia, and you see this huge sign that says, next exit, Mennonite, it says Eastern Mennonite University. And it's huge. And they say this now, there at that university. They say, well, he was right and wrong in what he wrote. Quality is correct. When he talked about quality of singing, that's correct. But he appears to be mistaken when he said that other forms of music lead to less devotion to God. Is that what he said when I read? And I say other forms lead to less devotion to God? Well, I didn't read that. He said if we don't nurture the right kind of singing, the right kind of music, that which is authentic, if we don't nurture that, naturally listening follows. We begin to buy our music. We begin to pay choirs to sing to us. And we stop. That's the way it works. So we nurture the real thing, and then you don't have to guard so terribly against that which isn't real. You know what I mean? So in other words, sing. A funny little thing that someone wrote in the Gospel Herald. I think that was Daniel Kaufman's periodical. He said this. It said this. He said, you know what? The guitar is just the perfect instrument to accompany worship. If you're going to use instruments, it's a guitar. It's so cheap. It's kind of a satirical take right there. Anyway, let's sing another one. I had one. Jesus, I my cross have taken. I think that's the one I wanted. Are you hot back there? Too warm? Got number 8. Didn't I get the number? Number 8. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Naked, poor, despised, forsaken, that from hence my all shall be. Perish every fund and ambition, all I sought or hoped or known. Yet how rich is my condition, God in heaven are still my own. Let the world despise and leave me, they have left my Savior dear. Human hearts and looks deceive me, thou
song or else a poem or verse. And I like the verse. I like this verse that we've memorized before in our house. We all got it memorized. It's the future lies before thee like a field of driven snow. So be careful how you tread it, for every step will show. And I like to think about that, how you shouldn't just, you don't have to look ahead in the future, just take steps. Look at your mistakes.
Out of the depths, I turn to your Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let their ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
It couldn't be done, but Edgar, I guess. Somebody said it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one that wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with a trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hid it. So he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. Somebody scoffed, "Oh, you'll never do that." But at least no one ever has done it. But he took off his coat and took off his hat. And the first thing we knew, he'd begun it. With a lift of his chin and a bit of a grin, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go do it. Go to it. Just start to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it.
I have another one by Edgar, I guess. The title is Tomorrow. He was going to be all that a mortal should be tomorrow. No one would be kinder or braver than he tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and weary, he knew, would be glad for a lift, and he needed it too. On him would he call, on him he would call, and see what he could do tomorrow. Each morning he stacked up the letters he'd write tomorrow, and thought of the folks he would fill with delight tomorrow. It was too bad indeed. He was busy today, and hadn't a moment to stop on his way. More time would he have to give others, he'd say, tomorrow. The greatest of workmen this man would have been tomorrow. The world would have known him, would he ever have seen, tomorrow. But the fact is, he died and faded from view, and all that he left in living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow.
The song, "My God, I Thank Thee, Who Has Made the Earth So Bright, So Full of Splendor and of Joy, Beauty, and Light. So many glorious things are here, noble and right." I like that song because it's a song of praise, and it's a good one to sing in the morning. And it gives me a lift sometimes when I'm struggling.
I got the poem "If" by Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait, not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise, if you can dream and not make dreams your master, or if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you've gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they're gone, and so hold on when there's nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither friends nor foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and what is more, you'll be a man, my son.
I had one by Fanny Crosby. My song shall be of Jesus. His mercy crowns my days. His blessings, he fills my cup with blessings, and turns my heart to praise.
a song that really goes good with what's going on right now is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. If we do not, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's something that is real good to do, and I probably ought to do it more a lot of times.
I thought about, let us with a gladsome mind praise the Lord, for He is kind. For His mercy shall endure ever, faithful, ever sure. And the song will teach you to lean on God. And
I picked out a part of the poem, If, by Rudyard Kipling. It says, part that I picked out, if you can meet with triumph and defeat and treat both the imposters the same. I kind of thought I liked that part because it's something I need to work on.
I had a hymn, and I'll just recite the words. He leadeth me, a blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp my hand in Thine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis Thy hand that leadeth me. And when my work on earth is done, and by Thy grace the victory won, e'en death's cold way I will not flee, for God through Jordan leadeth me. I like that one because I was thinking of it because it's so easy to be discontent with our lot in life and start complaining and, you know, work and whatever. But the verse about, I would clasp my hand in Thine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, for 'tis Thy hand that leadeth me. That's encouraging. So
I also got the poem, It Couldn't Be Done. And somebody said it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he'd be one who didn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with a trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hit it, and he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you, no, somebody scoffed, you'll never do that, or at least no one has ever done it. But he took off his coat, and he took off his hat, and next thing we knew, he'd begun it. And he started to sing, with a lift of a chin and a bit of a grin, without any doubting or quit it, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done, thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But if you'll just take off your coat, or if you'll just buckle in with a bit of a grin, just take off your coat and go to it. Just starting to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it.
I remember a couple years ago at our old place, we boys were in the woods, and we thought we ought to try to make a song here, or words for a song, and this is all we came up with, just one little verse. Lord, help us to Thy precepts keep, and all Thy words obey, until the day I fall asleep and face the judgment day.